It's not there.
Okay, everything looks good back here.
Okay.
Let us take it away.
Okay. So, the three of you, and let's see, myself and Marika, who's not here, and I think occasionally Melissa will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So, this is the second pass transcriptions you're receiving, and that's pretty straightforward. I think you'll basically have an idea of what's involved. But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel and make sure that no back channels were lost, for example. Back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So you can start checking by, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and go through it entirely. I would recommend, I've found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, like, say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that so that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those. And so you could just hit.
Well, hi everyone again.
And then.
Like before, we.
Like that. And then go back and check the silent regions. If you want to make your job a little more interesting, do it in different ways on a different day. It doesn't matter. As long as it gets done. So.
So we're checking what's actually being transcribed already, as well as the silences.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you're doing it. So that's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent regions, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing was lost in the silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber. Of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. Yeah, exactly. And so that once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, Annette, you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu. You can do a search for,
Find replace.
yeah, find your place for open parentheses, and that'll take you to any that the first transcriber might have marked out. So there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one as a different set of changes together. And likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks. And like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
How much would you want? I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this, but if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, like put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's. I would, if you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think it was said. If you think that,
there's a chance
maybe
that you could
30% chance you're wrong or more.
It's usually a context problem, because
I think
sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context, you tend to take the closest actual word that would fit the context, or if it, sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all, and then question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one, listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that, and then you should have the context from all four speakers, and then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be?
Yeah, just in the case.
Okay.
Once you've been through the passage, you might know what they're talking about.
you'll know all too well what was said in this meeting.
It took like the third time till I thought, oh, you're saying F5.
yeah, I think that would be really helpful. That would help us nab a good number of those uncertainties.
But if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something, or they could have said something like ice cream, then just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. I mean, you think of it from a speech recognition point of view, again, and always. This should be what is most robust for speech recognition, and leave out.
We just started our speech recognition assignment just now.
So you're well geared towards this task.
I've done that too.
So I've
got. Oh, no, I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, no.
When I did my master's, I took SP1 and SP2 with Simon Kane.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yeah. And actually, I've done quite well in SP1. I've done a bit worse in SP2 because it was a lot more challenging.
We have two new teachers for SP2.
Okay.
Two new. I'll ask you later on, like, this is what he knows.
Okay. Back to the topic.
Okay. So, this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel. And there were lots and lots of things, as you can see, because I've got some square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So, this person didn't know about capitalization. So, just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's this sort of pause in the middle of a sentence that's long enough for it to put a break in, but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit?
No. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can continue into the next segment, and
so
that's perfectly fine.
That's actually the only case where you don't. Or you're not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence from a previous segment is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize.
And
you
only use the hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing anywhere. Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah.
I've had a few of those wrong then. When someone comes to check it.
I'll review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out or mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to use the whiteboard. okay, so this person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an out-breath. Or possibly in breath, and use the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in breaths or out breaths.
Mm-hmm.
That's information we don't need.
Like before, I have to reuse the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, this is the headset mic. I heard something. it was a
creaky voice.
Yeah, it was creaky. So
it was really connected to the word.
Yeah.
And you sometimes you don't know whether it's a mic noise or that person's being familiar.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think it was.
And so here we go. Oh.
Hello.
Like before we I have to reuse meetings from the mid.
Yeah,
Oh, but
this
the
looks actually quite a bit more in there
for
than I had before. This
the
is so I heard a creaky voice and it was audible of the level of the rest of his speech, so I would keep that. I think that's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's what I was doing. That makes sense. Okay. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here, that didn't get caught.
meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common in the transcriptions I've looked at. Missed false starts, missed.
How exact you have to be there, because some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they would have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right.
Yeah.
I think syllables should be accounted for, because
For
sometimes they go
Yeah, I've heard that, and then you're not really
Yeah,
sure
well,
what
don't let it
exactly
drive you
for.
crazy, because there is one speaker Melissa just played for me today, and he stutters horribly. It's unfortunate for him and for us, because it's really going to be a nightmare to transcribe, so you will have to draw the line somewhere. But if it's, say, four repeated, if the word is repeated 4 times, then that's not too hard to count. I haven't come across something that's been, I haven't come across anything exceeding 4, I don't
Yeah.
think. Have you?
Well, it's not that the word is, if the word were, the whole word were being used 4 times, that wouldn't have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe one or one and a half phones, and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether one is a long duration of one or whether it's actually two, and then that kind of thing. So it's, I think it was worth starting with D, and the person was going
Yeah. Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it for too long, I would say.
And sometimes if it does, if you think, are you anticipating a the, or you're trying to say the, and you're just saying the.
Well, there again, think of that robustness in the speech recognition, and it really doesn't matter. It's a word fragment. Who cares?
Well,
You're marking it as a fragment, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to world knowledge, that what they say it doesn't really actually sound at all, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically, or do you put a star after every single one word, or?
You'd be using the star so liberally
Yeah, that's what
for
I've
a
done, that you're
non-native
not supposed
speaker.
to do it, but there's one I'm transcribing right now, a whole batch of dialogues where all four participants are non-native, and there's especially one there that I think he's Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all, because I'm Eastern European. And but if you would just play it, I think, to a recognizer, then what he says, the way he realizes words sounds nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. I mean, and for that matter, a lot of native English
Yeah.
speakers' realizations are going to
Yeah.
be so true too.
I try to take consistency. If they always stress the wrong part of the word, then I think, okay, I'll let that in. But
Yeah, yeah.
if it comes out in like one word is
No, it's less of a stress. It's really like I don't know, just the phonemes sounding differently.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother to mark all of those instances.
Well, you can't really, because
No, I mean, yeah, you're gonna find that for any speaker. I have a set way of realizing these things, and it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really adamant. Like, I'm thinking of, I've used this example before. There's a guy who says project instead of product,
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
and it's something like project,
Yeah.
and it's probably just his his pronunciation.
Oh, I think I've transcribed from that project.
Yeah. Well, they were clearly talking about a product, so I marked that as a mispronunciation or something to flag anyway.
And when I was saying evolution each time, he meant
evaluation. I remember that one. I would flag just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always transcribe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that he actually meant evaluation.
Yeah.
And then I went back and replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good. That's good.
Well, at the moment, we have a lecture that I can never quite tell if he's saying problem or program.
Program.
And I can't actually say it when I'm listening to him. I can't tell.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just,
I think, just do your best
with.
And hope for the best.
Yeah. He's not involved with this.
Okay, so.
That'll give some transcriber a headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both headset and lapel transcribers, so it's not too bad.
Oops.
I won't be transcribing.
Right here.
Yeah, let's have Monica transcribe.
Okay, so there have been lots of missed filled pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an ear out for those.
It's easy to, because you're so used to tuning them out in music.
Mm-hmm.
When I go back over, I normally like go back to the beginning, do a quick pass of the main sections again, and think, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I missed them plenty myself. But this second pass, we should really try to catch.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just seeing this with the TV. There is T_V_. I thought we're just supposed to use the underscore between letters.
No,
that's what I thought the first
okay,
day as
sorry,
well.
Okay, sorry, then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after every acronym.
You know, you standardized all the field pauses that are, and do we need to go through and change ones that people did differently? Like if I were over an ER, change it all to UH.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, the only file that's been checked is one that Melissa did, and that was checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these, and you know,
right.
Changes like that that were just announced. We'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like UHM for you would change that to the regularized version.
Okay.
And we just, you know, this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not let it get too convoluted with choice.
So if they pause, just where you've got it highlighted at the moment, that was the hyphen.
Mm-hmm. There.
So I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting. Was that a like real definite, I'm starting a new sentence here? Because I sometimes, if it sounds like you could carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there.
But it is a
hesitation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily restarting
a
sentence,
right.
But just
restarting. Yeah, I think of it in terms of, you know, not even maybe to. Well, if you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S note, but it just it might go back to the last.
Just
note
one to the next filter. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great.
Yeah.
If somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S
notes. It's just my way of knowing.
Yeah.
Sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever
known. Here's that answers your question.
Yes.
This one here? Okay. Here's where I heard another D sound, another false start, or a stutter, I would say.
On this new remote. And he's just sending message of course to the TV. It should have 9 channel buttons, next button, volume buttons, subtitle buttons, switch to control features, color, contrast, sharpness, etc. Image, what is my stretching her favorite personal features she would like see to be integrated in
so
this.
Okay. And there was a vowel in there, but you notice that she just used the D, and that's fine.
What's
the letter D?
What's the C? Is that
she would like C. She
definitely is
integrated in this new remote.
Oh, sorry. I didn't go. Oh, I didn't use that one yet. Where you've written up, etc., is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Where is that? Yes, she's so she spelled it wrong.
Where?
Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah, so I mentioned that because of spelling. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just.
Spelling. But it would be
it's
like at Ali.
Sorry?
But isn't it in Latin like et cetera? Like at Ali? Or?
Like 80s.
No, like, when you have a citation and you say et al means and others et Ali is before, and et cetera means and following. So.
In the dictionary here, it's one word.
Oh, and it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have any questions about spellings, I think I might have sent an email to this effect. Just check the Oxford English Dictionary on that.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So, as far as I know, this is just missing an E, set to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, you can. We've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. You can take this as an Emacs file and run a spell check, but I think it would slow things down too much.
Yeah.
So just hopefully in going through this really carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with a hyphen, then the spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from experience, at some point you also get negligent, you just click okay, you know, that's not and then you might miss a real error. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. And that's what we'll do.
Yeah, the C.
Okay, so.
To be integrated in.
So I think she didn't catch.
She was cutting off rather than saying she'd like to see
something. Right. Yeah, I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But since C
is a whole
word, shouldn't there be a space between C and
a space?
She would like C.
She would like C.
After the C and the hyphen should not be expected.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's
that was what you were okay.
There we go.
I'm going to save that. Okay. What else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So.
The word
shape buttons. She presented also an oversized remote, which she guarantees nobody will ever be able to lose.
So she transcribed that as wood.
But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes we really don't know whether it's saying wood or wood.
Well, I think it's quite clear.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously there.
But if it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical alternative or
no? You
try to keep it as
true.
Yeah. But if it's really absolutely not clear,
then you
when they say "what" instead, you know, some people when they just swallow up the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just then transcribe?
I'd like to hear it because
yeah.
It sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and type what you think they should have said, but I didn't know the type of scenario you're describing. It's just hard to answer that without hearing something.
Yeah, should be capitalized.
Yeah, they should all. I stopped marking
okay.
them because there's just too many. But
should it?
Because they lose it's
see
from one second.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
you're right.
No,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. There's a yes in there.
What's that?
That's right. But are you ready for personal? So another mystical start.
Favorite, really, she would very much like to see.
There is creakiness on the sheet, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I've made butts after like words after laughter, I've made them capitalized because I've not been sure if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
And it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues
mm-hmm.
after the laughter. I wouldn't worry
okay.
about capitalizing.
So what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter in front? What I put laughter in front, then the whole sentence and laughter in, you know, at the end as well.
If you hear just laughter on either side, yeah, do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to.
There's some people laughing themselves silly at absolutely nothing. Well, let's speak.
Okay, so laughter during speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to Melissa.
Because in the ICSI dialogues, they only say, you know, while laughing, and we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they say either. So there, it's really not ambiguous whether
mm-hmm.
it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance, or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a distinction there, and we don't have that.
No, we don't have any
yeah.
qual tags that they use, but I'll figure that one out and put it up on the wiki or email you. Good question. I've come across that as well. Let's see.
Use speech recognizer integrated in this remote. The industrial designer.
Yeah, I don't know what that noise was indicating. We can skip on. There are other types of things I want to put out. Let's see.
And how it would work, you press the button, the chip. It's Morse code related, relays the electrical generally to the generator amplification. And the circuit board is very inexpensive to build,
okay.
and so she thinks this is a great feature to consider.
Circuit. I forget if she was the person that calls circuit.
Did she say circuit? I didn't really hear that.
I'm not sure.
So, would you have been tempted to
just
put an asterisk?
If it's her, I
circuit
just caught the end
board.
Of it.
The circuit board.
No, not for that one. So
yeah.
I had one person who said circuit.
Oh, okay.
But then I wouldn't put an asterisk on it. I thought asterisk is something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and evolution.
No, not necessarily. No,
no okay.
It's just something that the speech recognizer is liable to trip up on.
Because this is a very frequent mistake that non-native speakers make,
mm-hmm.
to say circuit instead of circuit.
That may be, but I probably would flag it. Depending on how different the vowel sound was.
Mm.
It's going to be your call in a lot of these
Something
cases.
Like, if I took that one because it was, well, the language teacher wouldn't allow that to move on to the next stage. They wouldn't let that pass.
Mm.
Sort of.
Okay.
Or I wouldn't, if somebody did that, I'd point it out to them.
Here's a case of where I found a case of discontinuity.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
But, you know, because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know, maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe that
was. Because otherwise you could end up putting a hyphen after every hesitation mark you have.
Mm-hmm. So again, I don't know. That was
just
my reflex at the time to put that there, but
just a prosodic marker rather than an actual whole hesitation.
Yeah,
as in that whole like back channel.
Simple chip.
Right.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
Oh, yes, sorry. I just read the rest of the sentence.
Is push buttons two words?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll
type it
as two. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna skip ahead. Oh, let's see. There was a
should be battery operated, and of course she has a special case.
So I hear she would quite clearly
yeah.
there,
mm-hmm.
and I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and be able
well,
to.
Well, it could be she
it.
Would or should as well.
Well,
okay.
Yes, it could be a lot of things.
Marketing expert who has to finally come up with to market this product.
So there's another case where there wasn't a space between a non-word fragment and a restart. Okay, what else? There's an extra little symbol in here. It's just kind of carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. Marika asked me what to do in case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we use punctuation in these cases?
I haven't done it.
I don't
no.
think it's just too silly.
It's not linguistic.
I'm
just thinking of, you know, a utterance consisting entirely of laughter and then putting like punctuation in it. Like,
I was going to have fun transcribing that.
Sorry.
If you start the conversation in the common room, like, is laughter linguistic, then they could come up with a
theory. I'm just trying to interpret my note here. Delete the class of silence in the sentence. Okay, there just really wasn't enough to transcribe.
What I really thought.
Yeah, because it was really just
silence, and you're asking the person to do something.
Yeah, so like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't learned that trick already, and that won't play any surrounding seconds. So there's nothing there worth transcribing.
Just notice the random years, like with having a hyphen before, because
if you scroll up a little way.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that second one from the top. You know, I'm going to have to go back and find the places where I've had someone pausing and then saying, yeah, yeah, and then this, I've not had, I need to go back and find.
Oh, so you haven't
put
hyphen
in
there?
Oh,
I see, Okay.
Hyphens or commas?
Commas.
Commas?
Yeah. For
no,
that type of situation?
I've sort of sorted it out.
Actually, a couple of times where they've repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine. Eventually they're going to be extracted globally, so it doesn't matter where it is a comma.
Okay.
Yeah, we can just wipe them out.
I get quite prolific with my commas at times.
I am too. I like commas. And then Steve Reynolds, who's project manager, had a look at I think it was my transcription. Well, these commas doing anything. But he didn't, ultimately, he said it wasn't a problem.
Okay, cool.
They will, they'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective and something that you, the transcriber here,
just to make sense of the sentence.
Yeah. I really like using commas.
I read somebody's PhD proposals yesterday, and it's like, well, you could have a comma in here and one there.
What is cutest spelling?
She spelled cutest with an I. So
oh, okay.
That's just something I pointed out. Okay, what else?
Cutest?
Yes, Dave.
Thank you.
So here's, let's see. Now this was
like one step behind.
And our evaluation criteria.
So she typed hour, and I didn't quite hear that. But
no, this was our evaluation criteria.
But you can see how it could have been.
Oh, well, if you were Cockney, then.
No, this was our evaluation criteria.
Sometimes you get like, you're not sure if it's an
A.
An A, yeah, or not.
Right, and you can never know, but
yeah.
If it fits well enough as a as an indefinite article, then
yeah,
might as well.
It's
so
okay.
Which did you just? Oh, I was suggesting that it be instead of our.
No, this was our evaluation criteria, which.
Oh. But
and our liaise.
This.
Several thousand.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Keeps
ambiguous. I don't know. Oh,
well, there's a production email.
I hear the well there.
Yeah.
But this being the headset, my channel may make it easier to hear. She transcribed from the lapel mic.
I've had one person with the dodgy headphone where,
dodgy
something where,
oh.
Most of the time it's as if they've got the hand over something.
Oh, God. And you transcribed that speaker entirely?
Yes.
If that comes
yeah,
up again, we've got headset mic files now. In fact, they replaced all the lapel mic files on the MMM server with headset mic files, which we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. And so now we don't have the lapel mic files. Apparently, the headset mic files are just a bit louder,
right.
So you've probably found yourself turning the volume down considerably, but apparently, other than that, they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know, because we can retrieve the.
You know, some people it actually leads to some really screeching noises because they're so loud, or probably the mic is so close. I had this one in one of the first dialogues I did, this guy called Ed. You could always see the waveform actually, you know, being just hitting the boundaries on both ends and just being at some points just black segments. And when he was talking, there was this whole, like, you know, when you speak too close to a microphone, and that was really horrible.
Well, people that say, is this on? And I hit it a few times.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to go through any more of these, because I think I've gotten through most of the types that I meant to point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody and you think, who? And I don't know how to spell their name.
Right.
If you heard the right name.
Right. What are we going to do today?
Sorry? Oh, I had one guy, one of the project managers was, he had a really weird accent and he was calling one guy Mr. Ed.
Mr.
Ed. And it took me to find out that it was actually Mr. Ed. No, but that it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some proper name starting with M.
Mr. Ed.
I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that and see how we can handle it.
But don't you guys have this data?
Like
know the people's names, like when you
collect. Yeah, quite possibly. But since it's coming from it's coming from IDEAP in Switzerland. Yeah, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one of their step, you know, emailing somebody to find out who knows this information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's.
No, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment, so we ought to be able to get.
We didn't sign one.
But we should also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is or how it might be spelled at all, and flagging that in some way. So I'll try to address both things.
Mm-hmm. What was Mr. again? I can't remember seeing how to
Mr.
Mr.
Oh, just type Mr. Fully.
M-R.
Yeah.
No,
M-I-N-S-T. Yeah, and same with Mrs. M-I-N-S-S.
Yes.
check the dictionary.
Mrs.
Yeah, you would never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody calls themselves Ms.?
I'm sure there's a spelling in OED.
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when we're checking, if we come up something?
Oh, right, so
we just
the transcriber's enclosing everything in carrots.
Yeah.
And what you would do is...
It was French, so I knew how to explain.
That's a good question, because you will be leaving question marks there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in carrots and I know
right.
it's foreign, does that matter?
It shouldn't, because things are going to be left, like the asterisk will be left for the subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to an app between the carrots?
Yeah.
Because it's unintelligible.
Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do, really.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be polyglot.
Oh, so even if we know what the word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you if it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because I have, there's one dialogue where I think two speakers are French, like one is definitely French. And I know she's saying, and then somebody's saying something to her, and she goes, "Come on."
Mm-hmm.
Then
yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, yeah. If you're confident,
yeah.
You got a fair grasp on French, for example.
Why not accidentally translating in the process?
Yeah. Okay. There's just one other thing. She typed "okay" in caps.
Oh yeah. So
O, capital K, and. Huge no. I don't know why she missed that in the guidelines.
Are we doing okay
yeah.
just as O
okay.
K, not as an okay AY?
It is okay AY.
AY, okay.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it will be your job to catch all of these.
Find some of those.
So no,
yeah.
No transcriber will be checking, no checker will be.
Checking their
own transcription, yes.
Right.
So
no transcriber will be
we will catch these pairs.
Do you remember that one there?
More efficiently, I think. And I'll just go to the board. Do I have to keep this stuff on?
This depends how far
you
stretch. Oh yeah, because every time somebody would be going
yeah.
over there, you'd hear all the sound.
I can hear the chairs moving and then.
And about five or six. Breaks in between as they're making their way there.
Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the word "like" a little more time, I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked. So let's see. So, oh, okay.
Oh, the whiteboard marker and the camera as well.
It's like some piece of medical equipment.
Now, this is a list of things to do as the checker. So you want to listen to the silent regions, then check the speech regions, and as part of that, you want to check the boundaries, and, oh, by the way, this should be transcribed. Within this, checking the speech segments, you want to listen for, or look for missed, punctuation, fill pauses, words, and stuttering. And if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the Python to mark discontinuity. It's just
okay.
So if somebody says the, then it's just the. For instance, and false starts. Short words, make sure the words like the and articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments. Those are the commonly missed things. And then look for cases of missed transcription.
Seems a silly thing.
Missed transcription, so make sure the speaker said will, which I will not would, or if they say we, you know, it might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That cases of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was
apostrophe.
And look for capitalization. I'm not going I'm gonna do any more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OED to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regularized spellings and things like fill pauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, when it's just as K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
Yeah. Well, apostrophe and then K A Y.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
Good.
Yeah.
And
Marcus smells really bad.
I think it smells really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to always love smelling my first day. I became addicted to perfumes.
Please.
What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of discontinuity, but not with stuttering, like I said. And don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued in the next segment or whatever. Don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths, and okay should never be two capital letters, it should be OKAY. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any. So
over a minute.
Yeah, but that's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have
it. Yeah, really, it means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. But you know, use these waveforms to help you.
Yeah.
And you can adjust the resolution so that... that didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution.
If you just click on one of the arrows.
Which?
The
arrows
in the resolution. It'll. Yeah, in this one?
Yeah.
Not that one, the other arrow next to it.
This one?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So.
Yeah. Oh, and you can also, if you go to signal and. It's something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude. As well, on resolution.
Okay, right.
Yeah, you can also wait. No, I think that's not. If you go to control panel, signal control panel. No, signal control panel. The vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well. So if it seems too flat for you, you can.
Ah,
right. That's good.
All right.
Nothing. I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform. So I had to find where everything was.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Control
panel.
Yeah. So to help you make cuts, just look, you know, use this waveform and make sure you're not losing any signal information. But cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help ultimately. Processing wise,
I don't. I've gone a bit far in cutting mine down at the moment.
Yeah, don't get excessive about it because that just ends up taking too much time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter. The segments being whatever length that they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other people's transcription guidelines, like for the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere, say indicating that it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The point is just to get them into manageable units.
Okay. Easier for checking it in it rather than to listen to a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting them down. But hopefully, that will be done during the first pass, because that's the whole point. Making the checker's job a little easier. And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the cases of ambiguity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same
with allocation,
the same page. Just further down, scroll down, you see all the files. And I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you run out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked at the moment.
So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for a first pass, so it's important that we do the second pass. And I've indicated in a column where there's something that's priority. I think it's high priority. So those would be the ones you could focus on first, obviously. And then it comes, you don't want to change the file name in any way. Just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CVS server. So
I don't know about, I know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this one.
Right, but it'll be similar. But they're creating a guy, Jonathan, is creating a web form for you to do this all very simply. Just upload everything that you've, upload the file that you've transcribed.
Oh, right.
And you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass, and your name as the person who did that particular pass. And that will happen soon, I'll let you know.
So do we just open the file as we open the files for the first pass?
You'll have to, I would suggest creating a folder called files to be checked or something like that.
In your home directory.
Yeah, and then within that, create subfolders for the given name.
Yeah.
And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, from the MMM server on your own, because the AMI server's not very reliable for getting these sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from the MMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting yours. And then you'll just, you'll copy that over. You won't, don't move it over, because you're going to have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory and keep the same name. And then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered, even though the first pass was checked in when we're doing this checking in business. It will know which pass it is, but I think you'll also be indicating that as well.
It's a vaguely connected question. you'll know. Originally, when we first applied, say yes, we'd be interested in doing this, it said 6 weeks, and the contracts say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than, which is a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually 6. What is it? Is it 3 months?
I've got a 3 month contract. Yeah.
They're 3 month contracts, and now if you can't keep that, that's fine. But it's just a logistic thing with personnel where we had, that was the minimum we were to offer a contract. So if you have to go out, let us know as soon as you know when
it gets into the holidays and
obviously those kinds of things, things we'll have to work around. But it's just one of those.
Just checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment, can we be more flexible with our hours if we want to?
I should think so. I mean, the whole point of keeping, well, as long as you're able to work out use of your computer with the other person, that's fine. The whole point of having regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer questions.
Yeah, sure.
But you've got keys?
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during odd hours if you want to.
And if you can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I think do it there as
I don't see why not. As long as you're doing here.
If you give me 10 hours.
And yeah, I think you'll all be paid.
I'm having to sort I'm having to sort some tax stuff out before I can send my stuff in, because
okay.
I need to make sure I'm sending them the right form.
Okay.
But they wanted to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information, because it's about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies of degree certificates to give you for your files if I'm just going to be here. I think at one place it said give us copies of degrees. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a A-level like examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems like that, seek Caroline Hastings. I mean, if it's
right.
For this job and you're getting paid,
yeah,
that's not necessary. And Caroline Hastings comes
up.
But also, if pay is a matter, like if it's a matter that you haven't gotten paid, I hope that's not.
I haven't gotten paid for the first 2 weeks because I only have a 3 month contract starting February, but I started mid January.
Talk to Canada.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know why that would be. I'm
here
full time now, so I'll be here Monday through Friday. And I leave at 4 now, so you won't find me anytime after that.
Is your husband now a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah.
My husband's at home.
Oh, so it is your baby then.
One assumes this.
How old? He's 4.5 months.
Oh, that's very lovely.
He's sleeping through.
Yeah, that's the question I was just going to ask. Does he sleep?
Yeah, well, only as of Friday, actually.
Wow.
I was telling Melissa this. Do you want us to stop?
Do you think you're done?
Yeah, I
know. The tapes are about to run out.
Yeah.
Oh, good, that worked out well.
I was telling Melissa that.
Do we have to tick our note thing again when we finish this?
Oh, to say that we've